So in a minute, I will call Gordon back up here to answer questions. And just a couple of reminders. If you have a question, if I could ask you to wend your way over to the microphone here and to speak right into the microphone. That's the one lesson we're all trying to keep in mind, is that the microphones are directional, so we need to speak right into them. The other thing to keep in mind, of course, is to try to keep your questions short and to the point so that we can get as many questions and answers in as possible over the next little bit. And so I guess without further ado, we'll call Gordon back up here and start the discussion.
Thank you, William.
Hi, I'm Bev from Mental Acrystone. I really enjoyed your talk.
Hi, Bev.
And, when I was an undergraduate doing my first degree in psychology, I actually worked for a year in Vacaville Medical Facility in California, with one-third of that prison was devoted to lifers, one-third medically fragile inmates, and one-third youth inmates. So I had some of the similar experiences that you're talking about. And I have to admit, at that time I was only 19 years old, and some of the 19-year-olds I was working with, I'm now 60, and some of the 19-year-olds that I'm working with, was working with, that were lifers, are still there, still at Vacaville. But they had produced a wonderful program where the lifers were involved with painting. They became some of the best artists in California, and every year they would have a show in which they would sell their paintings. And they sponsored a Little League baseball team, and this was the pride of the inmates. So that was just a little story to share with you. I'm quite concerned that in our capitalist economy, we are willing to put money into mutual funds and things like this to see our money grow. But when you talk about putting money into social programs for the prevention of young people going on to become offenders, that we don't see that our money will actually grow. You were mentioning that figure, $1 put in, $3 back. I wonder how we can actually help people to understand that this is an investment in everyone's future. At least that we would still be talking the economic talk that seems to fit with our current mania about money.
Oh. Indeed, there is a mania about money as opposed to commercialism as such, and I notice this more and more now with the gambling, also with the people who buy lottery tickets, because whereas my wife will buy two a month and I always expect to win but never do buy a ticket, I do know people who invest, you know, hundreds if not thousands of dollars per month in gambling, and that's about money. It is not about commerce as such. You wonder how we see, but with the reference to our current Prime Minister, he's talked about tax reductions. Now, the question would be then, Bev, whether the tax savings, the downstream tax savings, would be returned to the community, or, you know, taxation would be reduced because of less need. And my experience, which I'm at the age now and the color of my hair that I can say in my experience, they don't give the money back. So perhaps it could be used if there are tax savings through the reduction of crime and all of its costs, because it's not just the prison. Don't forget, it's the family counseling. It's the psychologists such as yourself who get, you mentioned to me that you've dealt with many families who've, where there's been crime and social problems. It's all of that social consequences and the cost of it, not just the prison system, the police, the courts, the jails, the probation officers and so on. It's not just that. It's the addictions counseling, the, you know, the family counseling, the re-educating, all of those costs that can be saved. Now, whether they'd be reinvested to our benefit. You know, in education, for instance, who's to know? But again, I think what you've done with your question, Bev, is put your finger on the fact that we're not thinking about certain things that we would benefit from if we gave some thought to it, because it's not the real change has to come from us. Change has to begin with us if change is going to occur in society. We have to take the view that there is such a thing as social investment, that there is a worthwhile benefit to investing in a proper upbringing for children, at offsetting addiction, in building self-worth rather than a system which is based on success and failure, that we encourage self-valuation. That's where we have to change. We have to be the ones that demand. As I indicated, I don't think Mr. Harper is wrong in saying that he's speaking for Canadians when he wants harsher sentences. It's us that believe that that's going to work. Naturally, he's not going to go against public opinion. We have to change. We have to send that message. We have to change now in this room today as a result of what I've said and go from here with the message that I've brought to you.
My name is Austin Fenelon. Thank you very much for your...
Hi, question. Austin.
I might be inclined to respond to what you're being cause of social cause rise to the problems of people incarcerated. And then hear you back out, and because nothing much has been done, they tend to fall back into the old thing that affected and destroyed their lives. So I want to know what, for example, in the local correctional institution, what programs are there that emphasize not punishment but rehabilitation?
Okay.
And would you like to comment on their effectiveness?
Certainly. You know, because there is a good deal of programming in correctional centers, and you're asking me to speak about the local correctional center. I am must advise you that I am not the spokesman for the Lethbridge Correctional Center, and therefore I disclaim any liability for my remarks and the John Howard Society from my observations. But what I can tell you is that there is a lot of programming. There are work programs as such, which, you know, means working in the kitchen or janitorial work and so on. It's, the philosophy is to have inmates active in something. I'll make a comment about that in a moment, though. And there are school programs. There are upgrading programs. There are chaplaincy programs. There are trades programs. One can take all one's women's certificates. There's woodworking, small engine repair. There are therapeutic programs, anger management programs, family violence programs. The John Howard Society, we have our release assistance program, which is more of a one-to-one program, getting people ready for release. But I also run two addiction therapy groups myself. I have a volunteer who runs a writing group which encourages people to use their writing skills and to enhance their writing skills so that they can gain confidence in themselves as being able to express themselves and also cope with society's demands for written work, be it reports, application forms, and so on. Later on, there are also keyboarding skills taught there. So, and I, you know, and there may be some I missed out. You know, in there, the inmates are sober. They're capable of the fog clearing and the thinking process to begin to reformulate itself and to take. You know, to take effect. So I would I think some people might be surprised that certainly in the province of Alberta, because this would be standard throughout the province, that there are a great number of rehabilitative programs, as you call them. The question is, what happens to all this when they get out? There are counseling agencies and there are, addictions counselors. But does it all become worthless if you can't get a job? Or if you can't get financial assistance when you get out? Bev's question was about money. We do need money to survive. The John Howard Society's program with Alberta Works, where inmates could receive a welfare check the day of their release, was abandoned by social services. Now it's several days with some of the barriers that I spoke to you about before anyone can get any financial assistance. They go to the homeless shelter. They go right back to the peer group. Are we actually wasting people's time and money by producing and delivering programs at the correctional center, which are via the educational people, the college, and societies like John Howard and Chaplaincies, where we bring in experts to talk to these people, where there's tremendous opportunity to